last year, and let me dive into the cobwebs of my brain, but I forget how many records we actually looked at, but we found at least 85%, we could get at least 85% more documentation on industry and occupation by going through the records. So, I mean, there's just, it's documented, but it's not, you know, then transferred into the cancer data. So it was worth doing. We might do it again. We've done some training with some of our cancer registrars, so it would be nice to repeat it and see if it's gotten better. So kind of educating the registrars to do better documentation. It might be in the medical, yes, it is often in the medical record, and it just depends on if the doctor documented it, if anybody asked that person, you know, where do you work? And then we actually hired she did it for free, a NIOSH coder to come and code the industry and occupation that we found in the record. So, you know, there was 80-some-odd percent more than we could document in the regular data that we found in the records. I think Massachusetts has a study that's very similar to that they've published. Gordon?
One of the things is certainly for hospitalization ED data, they tend to be very good at collecting the employer's name because they're linked to payment and bills and how they're going to go chasing after people to get their money. And I know there have been various discussions about whether you can use that. It is computerized at the individual hospital level, but doesn't get rolled up.
Right, doesn't get reported. Actually, we're working on updating our hospital discharge data collection rules, and I've asked that employer name be one of the required fields and some other fields, injury at work. I mean, I don't know if they're called the same everywhere, but there are at least three or four fields that will require reporting now so that we're not just relying on workers' comp as payer. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Our final speaker is Gordon Smith, who's going to speak on statewide surveillance of occupational injury hospitalizations in Maryland. Gordon Smith is a professor of epidemiology at University of Maryland School of Medicine in Baltimore and the National Study Center for Trauma and EMS, which is the research arm of the Shock Trauma Center in Baltimore. And I'm also going to be handing around the occupational health sections, doing some evaluations of suggestions for next year and so on, so I'm going to pass those around and you can just drop them on the table and back as you head out. Dr. Smith.
Thank you. It's good to be here. That last comment about the occupational injury and the hospitalization is a wonderful segue into my talk and a great introduction. We're really going to talk about the whole issue of how we tried to get better data on work-related injury hospitalizations. And I'd just like to acknowledge my collaborators, Pat Dissinger, Sue Ho, Kim Orman, Ajoka Fira, and Karen Murdoch. And in terms of financial disclosures, I have no disclosure. I guess I wish we all did have lots of disclosures in public health, but unfortunately not, and I'm Gordon Smith and I approve this message. What is the state of data on work-related injuries? In the old days, I used to have the slide that I love to show here, where for 1980, there were 2,300 deaths, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and there were 13,000 work-related injury deaths, according to the National Safety Council. And as I was dusting through my slides when I was moving recently, I came across it and just couldn't resist the temptation to show really what an abysmal state we had with regard to work-related injury fatalities. And here, we're not talking about occupational disease where there's issues about causation and things there. We're usually talking about a very acute event that you'd think would be normally fairly easy to identify. Well, anyway, we've made huge improvements with regard to occupational fatalities, and we now have the Census of Occupational Injury Fatalities from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and we have really believable counts. There might be some underreporting, but certainly not of the vast order of magnitude that we used to have. However, and we also actually have good data. NIOSH has a system now where they use the National Electronic Injury Surveillance System to capture work-related emergency room visits. And we also have the National Health Interview Survey that also gets good data on work-related injuries. But really, when it comes to looking at hospitalizations, which we'd think were the most severe and easiest to catch, we really have very rudimentary data at best. And I would sort of hypothesize that we really don't have any good national data on work-related injury hospitalizations. State and territorial epidemiologists use workers' compensation as a proxy, and it's probably a good, reasonable proxy to start with. But however, there's been not a lot of validation as to just how well this is reported, and this was one of the functions of this grant which we had from NIOSH. And the study goals was to improve the surveillance of occupational injuries using probabilistic data linkage from statewide data from multiple sources, and we'll show you what there are there. Essentially, there's a whole series of different data sources in the states that have been used to provide information on motor vehicle injuries through a project called the CODES Project, at which a number of states have had. And we wanted to try and use this methodology to see if we could improve reporting for work-related injuries. And then also we wanted to actually do some evaluation of these linkages from these potential data sources. This is a NIOSH-supported grant, and I was worried that I was going to get many of the same people in the audience who were at the talk. There was a big National Occupational Injury Research Symposium in Morgantown, in Pittsburgh last week that we were at, but I see there's only one person in the room who I recognise is there, so I think I can probably get away with the rest of my slides. So what were our methods? We used probabilistic techniques to link multiple data sources in Maryland and to identify work-related injury hospitalizations. What we did is we started off with including any indicator of work-relatedness in the various records or any potential indicators of work-relatedness, and we created incident-specific database. And these are the data sources that we have in Maryland that we have available for doing our data linkage on a routine basis for motor vehicle crashes. We have ambulance EMS logs, we have hospital discharge records, we have statewide emergency room data, we have a statewide trauma registry, we have death certificates, we have police crash reports, and I realised just yesterday that I left off one of the slides. We also have medical examiner data for the state. So the issue is there's all these different data sources on different aspects of injuries. Can any of these be used to identify work-related injuries? So we started off with our initial definition of potential work-related injuries, and the first one is the expected source of payment of workers' compensation, which is the one that everybody uses. There are also some E-codes for place codes for farm, industrial, mine that we thought it would be worth exploring. The trauma registry and the death certificate data do have specific work-related question, and that's what the two data sets that specifically ask, is this injury or not work-related, yes, no. And that's why I was really fascinated to see that Carla, at my urging and the discussion when I went up to visit her, is including work-related injury on the hospital data, or at least applying to do that. And if that's the case, that could become a model for the country, and it would be terrific. We're still sort of trying to deal with that issue in Maryland. There's also police crash reports. I've been trying for years to get a work-related variable on that without any success, but there is a code for the driver of a commercial vehicle, and our assumption was that if you were driving a commercial vehicle, only a small proportion of those were probably going to be recreational driving. And then we also had ambulance run reports on the type of injury, and we selected these ones here as any of them that could possibly be related to work-related injury. So this is how the data sources that we had available to us: emergency room data, hospital data, trauma registry and death certificate. They were all merged to come up with a total count, and then for the crash reports we'd just bring in those cases that linked with the commercial drivers, and the ambulance runs we'd just bring in those that linked with the work-related injury variable, and then we are left with our summary group at the end. So when we started this data linkage under the first assumption that all of the ones that were possibly work-related were considered work-related, we increased our work-related injury counts by about 19%. Our injury rates increased accordingly. And the interesting thing is that rates were even greater amongst women than amongst men, which was sort of surprising to us. But it's part of the issue of the problems of being able to recognise work-relatedness in different groups, and that's a group that's generally recognised to have some problems in identifying these work-related injuries. So here we now went through it. This is just showing you the type of way and sequentially how we identified these cases. So we started off all of this universe of work-related injuries. Our workers' compensation variable identified 77% of them. So we're still missing 23% of the cases. And this is showing sequentially how we brought them in. Once you've been identified by one source, you were sort of included, and so we went down. The place code is an industrial place where the injury occurred, identified another 6%. going down the list, and I'll go through here a little bit more, and all the way down to the death certificate. And this was, for example, someone who was admitted to hospital and was in the hospital discharge data file, but they happened to die also in the hospital, and they marked the injury at work box on the death certificate, and that's how we would have picked up that case. So expected payer sources, as I mentioned, brought in 77%. The industrial place was the most useful. And then the other sources, we brought in a number from the police report. These are only commercial drivers. And the big one of the big issues in identifying work-related injuries is identifying work-related motor vehicle injuries. We've made some improvement, but not necessarily a whole lot. So then, well, what effect does this have with regard to cause of injury? And this is looking at the number before linkage and the number after linkage. And the last column there is the percentage increase in them. And as you can see here, the largest increases were occurring in the motor vehicle cases. And this is because traditionally identifying work-related motor vehicle injuries has been difficult. And for example, when they first started the fatality surveillance system, they almost did not recognise that motor vehicle injuries were a major cause of work-related injury. And now we have the stage where the leading cause of fatalities for work-related injuries is motor vehicle injuries. And OSHA has set up standards, and there's been big efforts to reduce it, to identify it as a hazard. But until then, they were actually even exempt from OSHA standards and OSHA consideration way back then. And this is just showing you some of the different how we sort of identified them and sequentially what we increased. And interesting enough, as you might expect, the largest numerical increase was in the working age population. But we also saw some increase in small numbers, but large percentage increase amongst the age extremes. And that led us into some of our evaluation of the quality of the data sources, and maybe we were even over-reporting some of these cases. This is looking at the proportion of all of the injuries that were work-related for each age linked in the data file. And as you might expect in the working age population there, 16 to 64, which is where the bulk of those cases are occurring, that's where the largest proportion of all of the injuries were work-related. And for example, we did a study for the health interview survey that was mentioned earlier, where we found that 30 to 50% of all of the injuries to adults at working age, adults of working age, were work-related. And one of the problems, as you can see here, though, you're seeing a few little blips in the 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 5-year-olds, and also a few blips in the really old people, and are they really work-related? Maybe we're bringing in a few extra cases that maybe that we shouldn't have. So we started to explore that area. And then we took a look at the really young cases and also the old cases that are sort of less likely. Some of them could be work-related injuries. It could be a 13-year-old on a paper run, for example, and there could be a 75-year-old greeter at Walmart. But and there are probably going to be more and more of those as people are losing their retirement benefits, and we'll be seeing more and more of those kind of cases. But the one problem area that we had where we had the biggest percent increase was this EMS variable falls from 15 feet. And it turns out we just had picked that this was a likely work-related injury. We didn't assume they were all work-related. And as we actually did some pulling of charts and things, it seems like we were a little over-generous using this EMS fall from 15 feet, and that was the area where we had the biggest problem. Thank you, 5 minutes. Yeah. And this is here is looking at the number of cases in the different age groups that were brought in just by this fall from 15 feet. And we brought in a lot of rather old people, and so that was what triggered us to thinking that that probably wasn't something we wanted to include as we went through this. And as I mentioned, we also did some validation studies to determine the strengths and weaknesses of each of the data sources and evaluate how good the data linkage was. We had a sample of charts from 4 community hospitals. What we did there is we identified sentinel injuries likely to be work-related, such as falls from elevation, machinery injuries, electrocutions, those type of things. And also we did a sample of 4 trauma registry using the statewide hospital discharge file to identify the cases from each particular hospital. We went through all the rigorous issues of human subjects approval, went back to the hospital, identified the charts and pulled the records. And I'm not going to go into that in a lot of detail, and if anyone wants a copy of our report, I'll be happy to share it with them. But the bottom line is that even when we looked at these the charts of cases that weren't even marked as work-related, 4.3% of the cases not classified as work-related had clear evidence in the chart that they were a work-related injury. And if we would extrapolate these to the cases that we have, we'd increase the counts for our total injury count of 16%, even using our multiple data collection. So even our multiple linkage is still underestimating injury cases. So what are the limitations? We continually got this problem of identifying work-related motor vehicle injuries, particularly those in passenger vehicles. We were only able to identify drivers of commercial vehicles, and we'd very much like to have a work-related variable on the motor vehicle crash report. And also, we obviously enriched the sample by including workplaces other than that were from farm, mine, and industrial place with the E-code, but we're probably undercounting people from some of the other workplaces. And I also mentioned this issue that we identified using falls greater than 15 feet probably is something we wouldn't use again. So now back into the discussion. So the issue is that the commonly used proxy for work-relatedness is likely to underestimate work-related injury hospitalizations and probably in our case only captures about 77%, and it could be even higher if we allow for the fact that none of the cases that we identified is reporting work-relatedness. And the only source, what we really advocate for, is to ask the work injury question yes-no, such as this was a major issue with regard to the death certificate and identifying work-related injury fatalities. The only source in the state that we had is the trauma registry, and despite only 39% of the patients hospitalised went to a trauma centre that has a trauma registry, they identified 6% more work-related cases using these. And as I mentioned before, the identification of work-related traffic injuries remains a difficult issue. We're also now linking the data with workers' compensation reports that we hadn't done before, and also a newspaper clipping service that we used, and we're going under a whole series of other things to try and improve and see what we can come up with. So what's our conclusion? Work-relatedness should be in all health and injury database, injury and health databases, and ideally we'd like to have occupation and industry. I think getting occupation is more difficult, although in theory all of us were taught at medical school that you should ask an occupational history and you should record it in the chart, so in theory it should be there. And industry we hope to be able to get from the employer name, as we mentioned earlier. We have good data on work-related injury mortality, but hospitalizations are rather poor, and I would venture to say that hospitalization data is still in a rather sorry state. Thank you.
We can take some questions, and why doesn't the rest of the panel come up, and we'll open this up as well. Questions for Gordon?
No, what it is we have the complete, we have all the data on the police crashes, on the police reported motor vehicle crashes. They're all compiled at a state level, and we get them in all the cases. But they don't have any indicator on them as to whether it's work related or not. But there is a variable there indicating that the person was a driver of a commercial vehicle. So our assumption was that if you were driving a commercial vehicle, it was likely to be work-related. So we could bring those people into the sample and identify the matches and say, okay, of the hospital files that matched with the commercial driver file, they were considered work-related. But we didn't have any other way of picking up the other one, the salesman driving the car, you driving from one place to another. I still, many years ago, I worked to improve the data from the medical examiner's office, and we redesigned the form and computerized the database. And one of the things we did is we had a variable on there whether the injury was driving for work, commuting for work. Thank you. Whether commuting for work. And one of the very first cases that came in, I was sort of monitoring what was going on, and we talked to all the investigators as to what they should do. And there was a case of a driver of a pickup truck that got sandwiched between two tractor trailers in one of the Baltimore Harbor tunnels. And it was marked as injury at work. And so I went back to the investigator. There was no other information there. And he said, oh, well, I'd just been to your seminar a couple of weeks ago, and it turned out once they interviewed and talked to the family that this was a builder. He had a builder's sign on the side of his pickup truck, And he was in between jobs, bidding one job from one side of the city to the other, and was using the tunnel to get there. And so that's the type of methods that you need to do to be able to try and pick up these work-related cases.
Yeah. In Maryland, the payer source in the hospital record, is there more than one listed?
Yes. It's a long list of potential payers: Blue Cross Blue Shield, Medicare, Medicaid. I think there's probably about 8 different payer sources there, and you can only mark one of them. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so there may be an issue where there's multiple insurers, multiple people paying for that particular one, and the fact that the workman's comp was listed as the primary.
Right. I think that we also looked at. There's also a secondary payer source. And I think there were very few where workers' comp was mentioned as the secondary payer source. One of the problems with that hospital data variable, we've spent ages trying to figure out whether it's really accurately updated. But they basically do the interview when the patient's admitted and you sort of hand in your insurance card or they get it out of your wallet if you're unconscious or about to die or whatever so they can get paid. But basically, we're not sure how well it's updated and whether it's even used by the hospital, and we've asked around and tried to figure it out. One of the quick studies that we want to do is to actually do some follow-back with our patients discharged from hospital and look at who paid the bills. And what we've now got is we have 24-hour research nurse covered in our trauma center where we are, and one of the big things they have to do as part of their initial screen is to determine the work-relatedness of the injury. So you've got to sort of be proactive to get that. That's actually a good point. We hadn't looked at the final, because that's the final billing, yes. I think that might be a good source, and that was probably that's a good way for us to try and track that down.
Okay. Thank you, Gordon. Yeah. Why don't we broaden the questions to the whole panel, just so you can recall what we've gone through here in the last hour. We had a discussion of the new National Health Interview Survey and adding some occupational questions onto that. Heard about undercounting in the BLS survey in relation to construction industry. We heard about doing a surveillance needs assessment and then linkages for injuries. So you can ask questions of our panelists on any of those topics or more general questions about how do we improve surveillance or what are the the next strides that we need to take. We've got about 20 minutes that we can talk. So if there are questions, comments. Yeah.
Cal Basin, California Department of Public Health, has one of the fundamentals grant, and we've done our analysis of all the indicators, and we're at the point of trying to put out a report and trying to figure out what's important and who we should share, and then all the stuff that Carl, you started to touch on the needs assessment, and I assume that Sue, I've talked a bit with CPWR about how you had a stakeholder process when you put together the chart. So,
so how do we use the data? Carla, you want
to? I don't know, just off the top of my head, just, depending on the indicator and your findings, just target certain groups that you know, would be very interested in that information. That's, I guess, maybe what I'm thinking of is coming out of this conference is, people will say, I'm really interested in occupational poisoning, can I use your data for whatever, and just target those stakeholders. But I know in talking to Tish Davis in Massachusetts, they have a really hard time also, identifying the stakeholders. We spoke to having the advisory committee on these fundamental grants. And, keeping them coming to meetings, how do you keep them engaged? How do you actually make them part of the process? So I know it is tough.
Can people hear the panelists when they're not using the mics? Okay,
I have a question for you from California. When I presented this data last week at the NIOSH meeting, they they told me that California had a law saying that you had to report work-related injury hospitalizations. Is that correct? Is there a special law regarding
that? Well, the doctor's first report.
Yep.
Doctor sees a patient thinks there's a work-related injury, has to report it. So we have those reports.
Is that for any injury at all, or is it only when they're serious enough to go to hospital?
Injury or illness, yeah.
Wow.
So I think you're getting rid of it, unfortunately.
Why is that? Is it not used much, or what's the problem?
No, it is as much as trying to deregulate.
Oh, okay, like the current mess we're in.
We actually have a law on the books, and it's so old that it has a category of dusty trade. So we would love to be able. I mean, the problem was that there was nobody to take the calls. I mean, one of our OCC docs actually called the state once and wanted to report some work-related illness, and they said we don't have anyone to take that information, so don't worry about it. But okay. That's one of my goals, that if we can get a fundamental program up and running, we want to try to put that on the books, but you have to have people on the other end.
We very sadly go through them and only pull them for the endpoints that are funded to you under NIOSH and all the other ones. You just can't store them, you can't keep them, you shred them. It's really sad.
Oh, yeah.
We have physician reporting in Connecticut, and I've been planning for many years to actually parse it out by health department and send it to the health director so that they know what's happening in their towns and their districts to see what impact that might have. And you know, again, it's like, what do you do with the data once you collect it? Sue, did you have comments on
yes.
construction work?
Yes, and just to mention the construction child book, that's our efforts. We put all the different data sources together, which the data, existing yeah. data sources that we found relates to the construction industry. So there's so many data sources, and that each of the data sources has a different focus. And not all the people from our stakeholders, they are not statisticians. They may not understand the complicated data sources very well. So we put all the different data sources together and give the very simple explanations and brief introduction of each data sources and compare this and that one. And today in my presentation, actually, that's a part of our efforts, mm-hmm. overall the construction safety and health surveillance. And so that some of the charts I used for today's presentation, you can find from our chart book. So, and also you can download it from the internet. They say mm-hmm. you can go to the CBDC internet or go to the www.cpw.com. And I think this book is widely used and signed mm-hmm. by the researchers and especially from the unions and the contractors and all the workers. So I think that's examples mm-hmm. how to get support from the stakeholders and let them know what's going on, how to use the statistics and how the statistics tell us a story on the safety and health in general. So in a chart book, not only mm-hmm. for the construction industry, we compare the construction industry with all general population and with all the other industries. So
right, and NIOSH has a chart book as well. And besides the graphics and the good messages, you can also
yes.
download it as PowerPoint slides. So people can go and just steal the graphs and throw them into presentations so you can get some dispersal that way.
Right, and we also contribute to the NIOSH chart book.
Mm-hmm.
So for the construction sector, that's the data from us. I think that this is a good example for the regular people who do not understand the statistics very well and who do not understand know the data sources very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sarah, did you have a comment too? On dissemination?
No, that's something that I'm definitely still trying to.
You haven't got the data yet, so it's a little hard to disseminate
yeah,
it, but it's good to think of it ahead of time.
To get stakeholders involved from the beginning, because we hope that, stakeholders will help us analyze the data and do things with the data, so.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? I saw a couple of hands before, comments. Suggestions.
I,
I try to follow the Cheryl's topic on the data collection.
Mm-hmm.
The new module will be added to the existing data sources. And I talked about a lot on this. Add the questions occupational injury, illness or occupational safety and health to the existing data system. This will be the cost-effective way to use the existing data systems. So several years ago when the National Academy started to review of all construction projects, I was invited to give a speech to all these congressmen and the persons, so the experts who reviewed the overall construction research project. The exact recommendation that I use, adding the questions on occupational safety and health to the existing data system. I just wonder if that's the adopt our recommendations or not, and then that might be the result, and we will have the new.
Mm-hmm.
Not only might it be more cost effective, but I hope that we can do more to integrate occupational health into the mainstream data collection. And that's
right.
One of the things about doing work related to this on hospitalization forms, and since people are working on making sure it's in electronic health record recommendations.
And you can also see how the occupational relates to these other conditions and other exposures. Gordon?
And I think that's an important thing as you're getting the electronic health records and getting any chance to make input into a data set to make sure we capture the work-relatedness of the injuries. Because it wasn't until we started looking at our National Health Injury Survey data and that there they have a very good activity question, and that was where we found that a large percentage of all of the injuries were work-related. For those of us involved in occupational health, it wasn't a great surprise, but it really was to the rest of the injury community.
Mm-hmm.
And just the other little anecdote is to the way that work-related injuries often get left out and people forget about it. There's this huge gulf between the Centers for Disease Control Injury Research Program and NIOSH's Division of Safety Research, to the point that the CDC published a book recently on injury interventions in the life course. And there's this great long introduction from the director of CDC talking how this covers the whole encompassment of the injury problem across the whole life course and all ages and all everything. And then I did a search looking for the occupational injury chapter, and there is no occupational injury chapter. Then I went to the index, and I went looking for work and occupation, and couldn't find any mention of that. And so I've sort of nicknamed the book the Prevention of Non-Occupational Injury. And have suggested to CDC that they should retitle the book.
Yeah, I try to follow the Gordon's topic. For the life, across the lifespan, these work-related injuries or illnesses, I suggest we can use the longitudinal survey data in addition to the National Health Interview Survey. You know, National Health Interview Survey, that is a survey that's a cross-sectional mm-hmm. survey. What is the exposure? You know, mm-hmm. the exposure and the health outcome, they cannot occur in the same time mm-hmm. period. So it's better to use longitudinal survey data so we can look at a longer time period. For example, the National Health, National Longitudinal Survey of Youth, mm-hmm. then 97 cohort that followed all the individuals started from 79 to the recent years, and the new cohort that is following the youth workers starting from 97. So both the 79 and 97 cohorts are very good data sources for the safety and occupational safety and health studies. They do have the questions work related, and another data source is for could be used for the older workers study. That's the health and the retirement survey. That's you can look at the workers who are age 50 and older. And in recent years, they added this new cohort that's called the baby boomer cohort to this the health and the retirement study. That would be very good for the exposure and the health outcome study for you stayed in a certain occupation for a longer time period, that would be very good data source to do that.
Other questions or comments?
So one thing, just building on that with the National Health Interview Survey, is I've just been recently learning about how they link their sample every so often to the National Death Index.
Hmm.
So in the future, some of the people that we get some of this exposure data from, we will be able to look at their population.
Yeah, yeah. Just to follow Sarah's topic, the National Health Interview Survey, and they linked to and also this. The same cohort used for the medical expenditure panel survey. So these two different data sources share the same cohort and they can link it together. So that will add the value to the data sources. Not only you know that the work related or not, you also you know the cost of the injury and the illness.
Yeah.
So that would just the other data source, the health and retirement survey, they also linked to the death index. So after the workers are old and died, and then what is the cause of the deaths, you can find out from the data source.
Other comments, questions? As you can tell, people that, like us that collect data can talk about this for as long as you'd like. So thank you very much for coming. Panelists will be around for a few minutes, and welcome to ask any follow-up questions. Thanks for coming. Well, I didn't do much organizing. I got asked to moderate it, so I had the easy job.